In the epistle that we just heard, St. Paul said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." What does it mean for the word of Christ to dwell in us richly? Well, if we were a poor person and we were barely making ends meet and we went to work and we were fired, and so on our way home, we're driving along, we're maybe not paying attention to the speed, and then we see the flashing lights of a policeman behind us and we get a ticket. The fact that we just lost our job and the fact that we have a speeding ticket would be a devastating financial crisis because we're poor. We were barely making it when things were going well, and now all of a sudden things are not going well, and then we have this unexpected expense on top of everything else. But what would a rich man do? Well, first of all, a rich man wouldn't have a job that he could get fired from. He would own his own businesses in all likelihood. And a speeding ticket would be absolutely nothing to him. And even if his car was stolen, it would be an inconvenience. He would be irritated. But it wouldn't be anything that would be a setback that he wouldn't be able to endure because he would be rich. He has enough money to where this is not a big deal, and he's going to move on. It's not going to change the way that he lives his life, and it's not going to be a crisis. His family is not going to be without. Well, if the word of God dwells in us richly, St. John Chrysostom says that spiritually we're prepared for anything that might come our way, whereas if it dwells in us poorly, if we barely understand the scriptures, then when we encounter difficulties in life, we're like that poor man who's lost his job and has a speeding ticket he can't pay and doesn't know what to do. But if we're rich in the scriptures, then we're never at a loss. We might have difficult times, but we will always know how to deal with it because we have a great wealth to draw upon. Protestants teach that the scriptures can be understood alone, apart from tradition. And we, of course, don't agree with that. We say that the scriptures have to be understood in the light of tradition. But in practice, all too many Orthodox Christians think that they can get by without either scripture or tradition, and they can't be bothered with either one. They're too busy doing other things, or other things that are more important in their lives, and they simply don't crack open a Bible, and many of them don't even own one, amazingly, and that's something that every one of you, if that's the case, should remedy. The scriptures say that we have to be doers of the word and not hearers only, and that's also true. But before we can be doers of the words, we have to hear it first. We have to know what it is that we're supposed to do. St. Paul elsewhere says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So is your faith weak? Well, the remedy is for you to let the word of God dwell in you richly. But where is the time, people often say? Well, if we actually did a time study of what we spend our time on, most of us find that there are hours every day that we completely waste doing something that is absolutely no benefit to us and maybe even harmful. And so there's none of us that can honestly say that we don't have 5 minutes to open up the Bible and read a chapter from the Gospels or from the Epistles. St. John Chrysostom, commenting on this passage from Colossians, says this: "Listen, I entreat you, all ye that are careful for this life, and procure books that will be medicines for the soul. If ye will not any other, yet get at least the New Testament, the Apostolic Epistles, the Acts, the Gospels, for your constant teachers. If grief befalls thee, dive into them into a chest of medicines. Take them for comfort for thy trouble, be it loss or death or bereavement of relations, or rather dive not into them merely, but take them wholly to thee, keep them in thy mind. This is the cause of all evils, the ignorance of scriptures. We go into battle without arms, and how ought we come off safe? Well contented should we be if we can be safe with them. let alone without them. Throw not the whole upon us. Sheep ye are, still not without reason, but rational. Paul committeth such to you also. First off, when St. John Chrysostom talks about if you can't get the whole scripture, which is what he's saying, when he talks about what books you might buy, at least get the New Testament, the Gospels and the Epistles. In the time that St. John Chrysostom uttered these words, to buy a copy of the New Testament would have been an investment that for us would be similar to buying a new car. It wouldn't be something that we just thought, oh, well, I've got a few bucks, let me go and buy a copy of the New Testament. The New Testaments had to be copied by hand. That meant that somebody had to sit there who was skillful and copy that for days and days and days. And they did that on expensive material that was not easy to come by. And so it was not a light thing for St. John Chrysostom to say to the people in his day, go out and get yourself a copy of the New Testament. But in our day, for less money than you would earn if you were merely flipping hamburgers at the local McDonald's at minimum wage, you could get a copy of the New Testament for less than that. And if you keep your eye out for the Gideons, they'll give it to you for free. Most of us probably have scriptures lying around the house, multiple copies. And so there's no lack. We have absolutely no excuse to not have a copy of the scriptures, and we have no excuse to not open it up and study. And St. John Chrysostom, when he says, how contented should we be if we be safe with them? The analogy is we go into battle without any weapons, because what is the weapon? The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. We go into battle without any arms, and how ought we come out safe? In other words, how should we survive? We're doing good, he says, if we go into battle with weapons and we make it out okay, let alone without them. And then when he says, you throw not the whole upon us, what he means is that the people he was talking to shouldn't expect all the instruction that takes place to come just from him and the other clergy in the cathedral that St. John Chrysostom was speaking to. This passage talks about teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So St. Paul is saying that we should be teaching each other, and St. John is reinforcing that, saying that don't expect it all to come from me. You should be doing this yourselves. You should learn enough sufficiently to where you can instruct the members of your own household. And it's even more true in our time that the amount of instruction that you can get in one Sunday morning is not sufficient for your children to grow up and be pious Orthodox Christians if you're not reinforcing that at home and you're not teaching them the scriptures. How many children today could quote from a song without missing a word from Lady Gaga or the Black Eyed Peas or some other group that's out there and quote it from memory? But if we were to take those same children and say, give us as many quotes from scripture as you can give us, we'd probably be surprised, or maybe we wouldn't be, at how few that they probably would be able to quote from memory. And that's because they're being instructed, but they're being instructed by the wrong people. And they're not being instructed in too many cases by their parents. St. John Chrysostom goes on in the same homily. He says, but now your children will utter songs and dances of Satan, like cooks and caterers and musicians. No one knoweth any song, but it seems a thing to be ashamed of, even a mockery and a joke. So things are not so much different back today as they were back then. They had satanic songs. They had songs that were not wholesome, that children preferred to listen to rather than the hymns of the church. And St. John is saying this is not the way it ought to be. You should be making sure that your children know the psalms, that they know the hymns of the church. There, in these satanic songs, he's saying, is a treasury house of all those evils. For whatsoever soil the plant stands in, such is the fruit it bears. If it is a sandy and salty soil, of like nature is its fruit. If it is sweet and rich, it again is similar. So the matter of instruction is a sort of fountain. Teach him to sing those psalms which are so full of the love of wisdom, when in these you have led him on from childhood. By little and little you will lead him forward, even to higher things. The scripture says, a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And if we spend all our time thinking on things that are contrary to the word of God, that's going to express itself in our behavior and in our attitudes. Whereas if we're feeding our mind with the scriptures, with the writings of the saints, with the hymns of the church, that will have a positive effect. St. John referred, as I quoted, as the Psalms and the scriptures in general, as a medicine chest. Psalm 118 or 119, if you're looking at the King James Bible or some other contemporary translation, is the longest psalm of all the psalms. It's also the longest chapter in the entire Bible. But if you observe the full cycle of services of the church, you would hear that psalm in its entirety every day of the week, in many cases, or almost every day. Because it's read in the midnight office Monday through Friday, and then it's one of the kathismas at Saturday Matins, and then it's also sung on Sunday Matins when Apollyaleos is not appointed. So very often you would hear that every day. And what is this psalm about? We'll read it sometime and you'll see every verse in that psalm makes some allusion to Scripture. There's all sorts of synonyms that are used, like law, statute, word, etc., commandment. But every verse in that chapter references Scripture. And it tells us again and again about the benefits of studying Scripture. And I'll just quote three of them to you. Are we struggling with sin? Well, the psalm says, in my heart have I hid thy sayings, that I might not sin against thee. If we're studying and memorizing the words of Scripture, it will help us to overcome sin. Are we struggling with despair? Well, the psalm says, my soul has slumbered from despondency. Strengthen me with thy words. If we're feeding ourselves with Scripture, it'll help us to overcome despair. Do you often find yourself unsure of what to do? You don't know what direction you should take in life? Well, the psalm says, thy law is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my paths. That doesn't mean the Bible is always going to tell you to marry Sue and not Sally or something like that. But the scriptures give you wisdom that you can use to make wise decisions in your life. I'll close again with the words of St. John Chrysostom. The Bible is a treasury with remedies for every ailment. Great is the profit to be derived from certain sacred scripture, and their assistance is sufficient for every need. Paul was pointing this out when he said, whatever things have been written for our instruction, upon whom the final age of the world has come, that through the patience and the consolation afforded by the scriptures, we may have hope. The divine words indeed are a treasury containing every sort of remedy, so that whether one needs to put down senseless pride or to quench the fire of lust, or to trample on the love of riches, or to despise pain, or to cultivate cheerfulness and acquire patience, in them one may find in abundance the means to do so. Amen.